welcome to episode 53 of Blind Bargains Cast. I'm Joe Steinkamp, and I'm with my good friend JJ, who is here, and we are going to go through the week that was, or the week of February 19th, which would be last week, and this would be the week of February 23rd that we are recording. So, hey, how's it going, everyone? Hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend, and that now we turn the corner and set our sights clearly on the run-up to CSUN. A month away, Jay.
I was going to say, not on spring, because there's another storm coming through. 8 to 12 inches of snow. You know, I thought we were going to be left off the hook this winter, but we had that. CSUN's on its way. Liam will be here next week, it looks like. He's a little under the weather, but you won't get him soon.
Definitely. But if you're missing Liam, follow him on Twitter. He's been streaming some BK3, and it's been really interesting to listen to.
Yes.
It's a Japanese game of a kind, and it's definitely fun to listen to. You've been seeing a lot of crazy weather. You avoided, for the most part, the Washington Seminar storms, and then we're corralled in with a bunch of Washington Seminarians on that horrible, horrible ice weekend. So weird travel weather is nothing new to you. And I would also say that you have been actually timing is your best feature, because you missed some of the things that unfortunately happened in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy week over here. Many of you know that I am in Kalamazoo, which has been strangely on the national news over the past few days because of some random senseless acts of violence by someone who killed six people. And I was out of town. I came back Sunday and, you know, was kind of hearing about it and piecing everything together, reading the subreddit thread and everything that went on. And the way he was kind of running around town, this guy was doing all sorts. He was picking up Uber fares. And in the middle of them, killing people, which was really an odd thing for him doing. No previous background, you know, issues or anything like that. But at any rate, he was near downtown late Saturday night and he was still running around. And it kind of got me thinking, with my current technology, you know, we don't always think that you could have a killer on the loose in your city. But yet this is happening in many cities around the country. And typically on a Saturday night, I would leave the bar perhaps 11, 12, 1 o'clock, depending on the evening, and walk home, not thinking that there'd be any danger of me doing this as opposed to getting a ride home or anything else. And it really got me thinking, you know, what should I do to my technology to be more aware of, you know, whether if the local television station, if the local Reddit thread, if Twitter, how can I get notifications on my device that something is indeed going on and I need to alter what I'm doing or perhaps get a ride home or stay where I'm at for a while? Some cities are lucky to have notification systems for their entire city, and I'm sure we're going to explore that here, but, you know, it really got me thinking, and maybe you have some ideas, maybe listeners do, you know, what can we do to be a little more prepared? A lot of the apps that are out there, we have weather pretty well covered. You can get alerts for storms, tornadoes, things like that, but for other unforeseen events that affect your life and where you might go and really could put you in danger, you know, what can we do about that in this modern age of technology? It really got me thinking about that.
Yeah, Amber Alerts are there and different types of weather things that you mentioned. I follow a lot of the Houston television stations that let me know about everything from road closures to things about sports teams that I don't necessarily follow. At the same time, it's a good way of getting national news. Of course, you can overdo it if you subscribe to, say, ABC, NBC, CBS, and all
right.
of that.
I follow them. I follow this stuff on Twitter. But it's like, okay, for something you need something, you know, something like this, you can't passively just check it, you know. So I guess you need a news app that has a notification feature that will ping you, because, you know, I wasn't checking
to see
Twitter.
If your municipal area has a Twitter feed or
right,
you know, looking for something like that in city of Kalamazoo or some cities
right.
do that.
Are there Twitter apps, maybe some of them that you can say, you know, maybe put five accounts on a list. And maybe there are emergency accounts you can put on a list and say, if this thing goes off, then play a different, do a different vibration pattern, do a different notification tone.
Pretty sure you can do that with IFT.
Yeah, if this and that might have, there might be some possibilities, and some of them may be geekier than others, and, you know, I'm definitely going to be looking at it.
But do you think Uber had a responsibility to let riders know in the area?
The thing came together so quickly. So the first killing happened around 6 o'clock on Saturday, and he was apprehended about midnight. And I don't think the connection between him being an Uber driver and, you know, and that being the killer
right.
was really apparent until perhaps within the last hour. There was a couple reports that day It was driving erratically for one passenger who actually just got out of the vehicle. But before that day, he had given 100 rides and had a 4.7. So there was nothing, you know, weird about his profile before that day. Right.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing what they can. You know, some people will say that, well, he's the Uber killer. He's been called that. You know, that's not really a fair judgment there. Uber really wasn't the reason this guy, you know, went off. Something else was, and we don't know what that was yet.
Yeah. It's no different than the way that we've seen all sorts of weird laws being enacted in order to deal with these things. There was a wonderful piece recently on open carry in Texas, and somebody had wrote about how we've gone from a tower shooter to having openly carried guns on UT campus. You know, it is a different world. And my mom actually is very aware of Uber because she actually remembered that Jay lived in Kalamazoo and she texted me to ask if he was okay. And I was like, wow, my mom's on this. She's on the right case. But even the drivers that we rode with this week were keenly aware and were trying to talk to passengers. And some were saying, are you okay being a rider? And I was like, yeah, I'm totally fine. I mean, it is something that's going to happen. Does it go through your mind? Yeah, somewhat. But the Uber drivers like the people who talk. What a lot of Uber drivers don't like is being treated like an automaton, where you jump in and there's no conversation happening. Yeah, you're just here.
Right. And when I came back, I was out of town. So I came back on Sunday and got an Uber from the airport, you know, full knowing what had happened. And we talked about it. Of course, he's been talking about it all day. And
yeah.
It didn't seem to, in his mind, he said he was full on busy the entire day with passengers. So, I mean, while there may be some people that maybe a little more scared of it, I bet you it works the other way as well, where there's some people that who would have walked home in the past who now might think of getting an Uber. So, you know, I don't think it's going to vastly affect their business here.
If it's something that you utilize and it's a big part of your day, then you're going to keep using it the same way that if you're an iPhone fan, you're going to keep using an iPhone, whether they get rid of the headphone jack or the federal government gets a backdoor. It doesn't really matter.
It's a vigilance thing. Look, exactly. You know, any city, this is, you know, you kind of look at other cities. Yes, these things are happening anywhere in the country. And that's how you curtail that is a debate that's way outside of this podcast. But the fact is, for us, these things are happening all over the place, and we just need to arm ourselves with the tools that we can so we can be as safe as possible without still live lives at the same time. So finding that balance.
And there are neat features in both apps, I believe Lyft and Uber now, where you can send ride statuses. Did you make it there?
That is true.
You can send it to your friends, and that way they can keep an eye on you. There's also ways for you to use different apps in order to make sure that your friends and family are getting to where they need to be.
Or if you can kind of keep track. You're walking home, you could FaceTime somebody if you wanted someone to kind of see what was going on.
I do that. I've done that. I've been on the phone with somebody, so that way there's some type of connection, and that way you could be safe. And that's really important as independent travelers. Well, we have more to come here on the show. What's on tap?
Scott Devert's in this week. He's written a couple articles for the site and done some stuff before on our audio podcast before we even had podcasts. And this week, he's doing a quick thing on the terminal screen input called Terminal Clipboard, which if you have any of the HIMS Braille products, you can use it to type Braille into iOS especially or other things and avoid having your single letters turn into contractions without you wanting them to be typing
surprise
text. So we got a demo of that coming up. And what is this about children's songs? Okay. Stay tuned, I guess.
Very much so. Last word. And I think you have a contribution in that vernacular as well.
More Greyhound stories. I mean, this is
something to do with Greyhound.
Another Greyhound story.
Accessible Greyhounds, right? There you go.
I don't know if this one is or not, but we'll find out.
Coming up is all of that, plus, of course, a tip and so much more with your feedback and sound off. But let's roll into some of the stuff that happened last week, being, first of all, AMC Theaters had announced that they're bringing movies to us through the second audio availability, or audio description as some might know it. I myself have partaken of the Regal Cinema variety, but it seems that we have a lawsuit that's been filed against AMC Theaters for not being able to provide everything that's needed in order to have an audio description in some of their theaters.
So this is a lawsuit That's pretty much implying ineptness, saying you have these devices in your theater that provide audio description, yet your staff doesn't seem to know how to use them. They're not keeping them charged. They're putting them on the wrong channels. I mean, it's pretty much, what's the point of having this audio description if it doesn't actually work? And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, if you're doing a lawsuit based on anecdotes, and if you compile enough of these, you know, it ultimately is denying the access. If you had, well, back to the buses, and we were talking about them. If you had a bus with a wheelchair lift,
right,
and the lift was working, but the driver didn't know how to use it, then that's a problem for them, right? So that's exactly kind of what's going on here, at least the way I'm seeing it.
Well, sensitivity in a marketplace which generally employs younger individuals who have high turnover rates at movie theaters, because believe me, it sounds like a glamorous job, but it is not the most fun in the world to smell popcorn all day. And I can see how these things happen. I had this problem with Regal Cinemas years ago when I would want to use them. In fact, I had to present like a state ID / driver's license and fill out a form before they would give me the audio description device years ago when I saw movies like Skyfall or even other movies like that. I have seen that it has gotten a lot better since then. My experiences here in Charlotte have been fantastic with Regal, especially last time during Star Wars. And even then, when that was tuned to the theater next door, you know, I did make them aware of it and they fixed it and they were cool, you know, I was okay, because I knew it was Star Wars. I didn't miss much, but it does happen from time to time. So who does keep that up? How do they, you know, do they have a checklist? Do they have,
no, you know, it's an education issue, right?
Exactly.
And they probably aren't doing as good a job as other theaters of.
And chances are they don't even break them out until a blind person shows up. And I'm not saying that's an excuse. If you go to a theater
where you go to it often or other blind people do, then you're probably fine. By the way, it's Scott Blanks, the California Council, Lighthouse of Blind, and some other plaintiffs. So it's a California suit that's doing this lawsuit. And that's what I found when I've gone to theaters. Like, sometimes the first time you have to kind of clue them in. But right. Then once you go back a time or two. But yes, they should know. And I know it's one of those things that you probably get training on and you file away in the back of your head. Like, oh, this ain't going to happen here. We don't get any blind people.
Right. And you have to talk to the manager or something like that. But generally, once when they know that they have an audience for this, it works out pretty well. The equipment is pretty expensive. I actually was told that during Star Wars, one of the deaf individuals walked out with the captioning glasses, and it was like a $700 pair of glasses that walked. So they are aware of that, because they have to come back with that and, you know, replace them because of the requirements that they have with the theater chain.
Yep.
So there is some rules going on back and forth, but I think it is general awareness there. But
it's a lawsuit to get attention, to say, hey, you need to, I mean, not like in a bad way attention. I'm just saying a lawsuit to get attention that, you know, you can't just put in this technology. It needs to work. That's
what
it is.
But this is an opportunity for Regal and other cinema chains to step up and say, hey, we got it covered, and come on over to this one. It's a very crowded marketplace, as seen by things like Disney films. You know, The Good Dinosaur, depending how we want to play with the definite article there, is a film that Pixar released that didn't make a bunch of money. Some people are saying because of Star Wars and some other things. Other people are saying it wasn't that great of a film. Regardless, you can make up that decision for yourself whether it is a good film or not by listening to an audio description, not on a DVD, but on an app.
So this kind of, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and, you know, since I mentioned The Lighthouse 2 minutes ago as being a part of a lawsuit, well, they're on this side of it as well. So it's obviously a big issue for the San Francisco Lighthouse, which is a good thing to have. So this is tailing on to what we talked about a few weeks ago, where you have an iPhone app at the moment, and it will sync up to the audio of what The Good Dinosaur and several other Pixar movies that are now available on DVD. You can listen on your own device without disturbing other people in the room, and you can do it on your own headsets, and supposedly it's accessible. It's working now. We're going to have to test this out and get into somebody's Disney collection. And
exactly.
see how it works out. But this is one of those, you know, we've been trying to talk about it for a couple of years. You know, hey, this is kind of cool, but now you have a major studio that is on board with this as a delivery mechanism. So,
and I mean the studio. I mean, we're not just talking about Disney films like, you know, Mickey Mouse and you know, Fantasia. No, we're talking about the studio that owns Star Wars and Marvel. You know, just a couple of small properties that make a little bit of money in the movie theater. Not a whole bunch. You know, just
Just yeah, a little. The app's called Disney Movies Anywhere. We'll link to it. That's the one that you want to get, and that will let you do it. Of course, the app's accessible as it should be. It's been tested by blind people, and you can go get it now. And I'm sure there'll be other platforms and things coming on behind it, and maybe some other studios would be great. We'll
see. I would love to see Warner Instant, Warner Archive do this. First of all, as Shelley and I have talked about on the show, they'd have to make their app a little bit more blind friendly, but yeah, they have a lot of content. If you watch Turner Classic Movies, many of those films have already been audio described, and just, man, just slide that in and rock and roll. That would be awesome and give us such a back catalog, especially for those, you know, those of you who are students who may want to watch, say, To Kill a Mockingbird, the film version of the book for the author Harper that just passed, and other things like that. So, I mean, a lot of times those films are shown in class. It would have been nice to have audio description outside of class to kind of sort of get what was missing, or having to read the book thoroughly in order to figure out what was the differences. Things change all the time. Star Wars changed its canon, as you might remember famously, before A Force Awakens came out. But other people do things like, I don't know, change backstories and origins in comic books. Other organizations just change their names, and such is the case with Hadley.
Again, it's the second time Hadley has changed her name. You know, I am glad that they have kept blind in their name.
Yes.
And I kind of alluded to this in the article. You know, some organizations have tried to kind of hide from the blind name, and they don't think it works for them anymore. You know, whatever, to each their own.
It's limiting. We're more than that. We want to be in all sorts of inclusive.
Hadley's more than a school. So exactly, they changed their name to the Hadley Institute, essentially. Where's our the full name of this thing? It's a much longer name. Before it was Hadley School for the Blind. That's a nice, simple name to remember.
Right.
Now it is. There it is. See, it rolls right off the top of your tongue, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking Charles Xavier School for the Gifted, but then again, I'm still in my comic book roll-in, you know, so I'm making an X-Men joke.
The Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired is the now the current name, or HIBVI.
Yeah, acronyms can be dangerous and hurt
better than Alley,
yeah.
And you know, they have done a lot more. They were just mostly doing those, you know, Abacus by mail and Braille by mail, and they still do lots of Braille, but you can do other things, entrepreneurship courses. Of course, you can get your high school diploma from Hadley, and that hasn't changed. So I think that's a smart, they kind of went through a rebranding effort, it seems. I'm saying that because that's the page that you go to with the news story. It's hadley.edu/rebrand. So
nice
new logo and a whole bunch of things. And
that is definitely something worth looking at. They have all sorts of classes that are worth attending online and offline, like you were saying.
And they're free. It's all free.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, a lot of it's doing online now and online courses. And one way that online courses happen is through voice chat.
This is true.
And one of the actually the voice chat client that we are using at this very moment to record this very show. No, we are not in the same room, if you think we are, is TeamTalk, which now has an iOS version. I actually used it a couple weeks ago on the show. Patrick commented I recorded it from the iPad when I was traveling a couple weeks back, testing out the beta of that. But so now you can do high quality voice chat, Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android. And they're all, for better or worse, well, except for the Mac version slightly, but the other three are definitely quite accessible. And you can do voice chat, text chat. I think you do video chat on all of them too. And a bunch of other cool things. So, you know, it's one of those things that for many, many months, Bjorn, the guy who writes this, like, no, I'm not doing iPhone. I'm not doing the iPhone. And then
Lightning
he gave
struck.
In and got a couple guys to help him out. And now we have an iPhone app. I'm surprised he didn't charge a couple bucks for it.
He certainly could have and would be well worth his time and effort over the years. Like you had said, many a podcast that we have recorded has been in a team talk. As many know, famously, Patrick is not the biggest fan of the S word. The Microsoft voice chat S word. And we have avoided it like the plague for many of those years. And I'm happy with the quality and I've always been a big fan. So it's neat to see this coming to other places. And maybe it would mean that people would do, I don't know, chats from CSUN. Maybe we could do something like that. Who knows? It's entirely possible.
The mics are decent.
Conversation.
I mean, the mics on modern phones, even the internals, they might not be Patrick standard.
No,
but for
not
most of the rest of us, they're
worthy.
Pretty good.
Not podcast worthy, but voice chat worthy. Probably does definitely something that would be really interesting to hear. We could give a day's events of what happened, like maybe me talking to Brian Hartgen, because Brian is coming to CSUN. I'm looking so forward to seeing so many of our friends that are coming to CSUN. Leonie Watson, Brian, a lot of good guys coming over from across the pond. And Brian just released two new games. For those of you who have the Leesy product, and I have a link here for that and a link to the podcast where he demos Country Place. I've been watching him and Lulu talk to others online about progression in the game. That is really cool. I'm glad to have more options in this arena. We've gone from having just one or two options in audio games to a plethora. A literal plethora of things that I just can't catch up with. There's just tons of stuff out there. Sadly, one of those selections will not be Solara for much longer. Esper Labs has announced, this is coming to us through Apple Viz, that they are going to shutter Solara, and that is a shame. It was one of the really good RPG games out there that you could play on your iPad, very competitive. You could build a lot of things and have a lot of battles going back and forth. I was addicted. I would play against Jeff Bishop and Ricky, and we had a whole thing going there for a while with Jamie and Lisa and all, and it was really fun. And unfortunately, the time has come, like many of these iOS apps from the early days, it's going to be shuttered. So if you hadn't had a chance and you're listening to this, go grab Solara really quick. It's a server-based game, so when it's gone, it's gone.
It's out. You know, that's going to be a thing, I think, of a lot of just not just games. Now you have mobile apps that were created in 2011, 2012, where the developer just isn't interested anymore. And, you know, they aren't getting updates. And at some points, they may stop working, especially if they're remote-based. So we see this somewhat for games right now, but, you know, just as desktop apps sometimes become really out of date and don't work after a while, we haven't been seeing that a lot with mobile because it's still a new medium, but we're going to see more of that, I'm sure. And there's going to be lots of cluttered old apps on the app stores, and we'll have to figure out ways to navigate around them and through them and see, all right, is this app from 5 years ago still viable now? I don't know.
Papa and the other games have all seen their updates. So you've already gotten the Nightjar had its update. Papa's Angry One has had its update. You've also seen Audio Defense have its update. And if things are to be believed by something else, that might be the final update we ever see on those games. So yeah. If Apple changes audio and breaks it again, then...
You don't know. And here's the other little thing on that, since I was on that little tangent. You know, these old Windows programs, I have their installers. If the website goes down, the developer goes away, I can still pretty much install the apps, but that's usually not true for mobile, where you're installing from an app store. You know, you can't usually get these things. Once they're off the app store, they're gone, unless, you know, you find some weird way of getting around it.
Well, or you find funding. A story that I forgot to put here in the news lineup, so this is going to hit Jay right out of nowhere. TapTapC went free last week. I don't know if many people saw that, but TapTapC has gone free and said that they're fine, that they have funding, everything's okay. They announced some open source stuff and that they are okay. But TapTapC is also now out there and you can use it for free.
That was a stated goal of them. We talked to them way back when. I'm looking back. It was this 2014? We'll have to, since you do that to me, I'm going to make you dig up that link. The AFB Leadership Conference in 2014 in New York, I interviewed the guys from TapTapC, and they had mentioned that as a goal then, which was kind of all right, are you sure this is the way you want to go? I was a little surprised, but that they mentioned that 2 years ago, so I guess I'm not totally surprised by that. Back to the present and current updates, NVDA, just a quick note, that we mentioned the release candidate last week, and now you can get NVDA 2016.1 with a variety of office improvements, web improvements, the Cortana reading out its results in text, if you so choose, and some other things. So go back to the last week's show. Let me see. That would be 52, right? Because we're in 53 now. I could do that
you
one.
You bet.
I could do that. Go back to 52, and you can learn a little bit more about that. Or, of course, we've linked up before to the NVDA release notes, but that is the first update of 2016 for NVDA.
Yay! More free stuff, right?
Yes. Gotta love free stuff. And a lot of things coming down the pipe there. This dictation thing is coming down the pipe, and we're going to be talking about that on a future show as well. So another possible improvement to NVDA.
While not free, the updates to Office 365 are starting to roll out, and there was also an announcement of a roadmap, which entails a truckload of things Microsoft wants to do with the Office suite of Record.
It's a big truckload, too.
I am telling you. It might be several. It might be a convoy.
There's been a lot of Office news and Microsoft news coming out in the past couple of weeks. You know, there's been talk in the past about accessibility, but wow, not often do you see a detailed roadmap of future accessibility plans. And this is the things that we plan on introducing this year. And I understand not every company can do this, but that's really helpful in planning for the future as far as what things will be accessible and will this help me in my class or work or job or whatever it is. Everything from lots of manipulations of graphics, a whole bunch of stuff in Microsoft Outlook, Access improvements, Microsoft Access, which really hasn't been touched much, VoiceOver for Mac, iOS, things for other disabilities as well. So there's a huge list of roadmapped improvements for this year. To me, is pretty impressive and seems to cover a lot of different areas. Of course, we'll see what happens, but you know, I'm really impressed by this detailed kind of annotated list.
And will this give the other screen reader and screen magnifier, the abilities to kind of say, okay, this is where their dev team is going. We should be ready for these releases. I especially look at NVDA to kind of bump up Office support. And if that can help a great deal, because
but to be public about it, if they had done this as an internal memo to this, you know, NVDA,
happened in the past,
right? Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, they know that some of them have dialogue, but this should be completely out in public with it. You know,
well, Google, let's organizations Apple, no know this. Too. I'm thinking it would have helped when I was in vocational rehabilitation a great deal. If you knew that you had, say, a contingent of blind individuals working as office professionals.
So we'll definitely link to that one, and we're going to keep tabs on Microsoft. It sounds like, you know, we've been doing a lot, and I've been playing with Google Docs, and of course, we've been playing with a lot of the iOS stuff, but, you know, we probably need to be paying a little bit more attention to Microsoft and the Office 365 suite, and think of that and include that in the viable options as they're improving. So
one of the viable options won't be Windows Phone, because that's down to less than 1% market share. So please stop writing in about Windows Mobile. I'm just saying, just stop. Stop. Just start writing Microsoft and say, when is the Surface Phone?
I think we've already covered that a couple
times. Yeah, well, it still happens. There are still people who reach out to me and go, Joe, you've been so down on Windows Phone. Well, I have statistics now. So there we go.
We cover that as much as we cover BlackBerry. It's kind of like some of the people on ESPN talk about why they don't cover hockey much.
That's true. Or you know, what was the other one I saw? The one of the guys who does The Weeknd was talking about Ronda Rousey and how things were going, and he goes, you know, I don't really follow MMA, but I follow, you know, certain people in MMA, and you know, he got into this real vernacular about UFC versus MMA, and I was like, you know, I watch professional wrestling, which really has very little to do with any of this other than one or two characters, so that is about the extent of this. When is the next update? What time is it? There we go. Okay, good. All right, cool. There are people out there who are writing some amazing viewpoints on some of the stuff that we've covered on Barbecue, and that would be, of course, BBQ. There are people who have feelings about Stevie Wonder, and there are people who feel like sometimes in all these rigmaroles that we get ourselves into in the community, sometimes we blind people are the problem. We'll shed a little light here on two bloggers here. Links in the show notes over at blindbargains.com. Jay, what did you think about these two articles that we have here? Any either one of them kind of strike you either way?
You know, the Stevie Wonder opinion kind of lines up a little bit with what we were saying last week. Basically saying this was a Holly Bonner, who I believe is a musician herself, and kind of was where I was coming from. You know, like, you know what? In the past, I've been very wavery about Stevie. Like, is somebody I want to support? You know, is it really an image I want to follow? Because he's not the perfect blind person, but nobody is. But I was really impressed with the way he handled the Grammys and so was she, as far as in making that statement, which, you know, we talked about last week. Again, that was, 52?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
52.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot about that last week.
That's easy to...
Yes, you can go back to that show. We had a nice little discussion about this, but, you know, other people are following along with, you know, I used to be a little down on Stevie and didn't know if I wanted to, you know, associate with him, but is this changing some people's perceptions of him? So I didn't realize
he had actually played the signing of the Marrakesh Treaty a couple of years ago when it was first drafted and the like. So that was really interesting to learn some of the history that he's put himself alongside in order to get accessibility. Look,
yeah,
out
you can't
there.
Expect him to be, you know, he's not just he doesn't have time or doesn't have the interest to advocate for every single thing that we need might need him to advocate for.
Right. But, hence my comments last week about he exactly, shouldn't be the only right. guy. Right.
Yes. You shouldn't be the only guy. No. But, you know, when you have an opportunity like that, why not take it? And, you know, I definitely do appreciate that. And, you know, the other one, yeah, we have another story there. And there's been a few of these, you know, people with that are very opinionated, but sometimes make some really valid points that need to be made about blind people and how we act in the mainstream world, I guess is how you would put that.
Yeah, I want to put... At some point, he wants to come on the show. We'll mention it here. Chris Hofstadter wrote a huge article recently about ADA trolls. And yes. it is very interesting, worth a read. I don't want to go too far into it here on the show because I think Chris would be a little better at explaining a lot of it. But it is a very interesting read about this kind of thing. And, you know, access as a business... And then access as a cause is a very weird line to walk. And, you know, again, full disclosure, I do testing for accessibility. I work for AI Squared. I do a lot of contract work. So for me, it's really interesting to see what other people have said or feel strongly about it. Having worked in the assistive technology field in one way or another for 16 years plus now,
nothing compared to some people. You're fine.
I tend to lose occasionally objectivity more. in this direction on one side of the fence or the other. But Chris has a great conversation here. We'll put it at the bottom of the show notes. So definitely take a gander. Chris's stuff is never a short read. So
no,
make sure you have a cup, if not a pot.
Anyone
of coffee.
Who says this podcast is long. Go check out those articles.
I don't know. If you did the same time
and see which one ends first.
I was about to say, if you did a say all on some of Chris's mammoth posts and started this podcast at the same time, it would be a
But
close.
I usually make it to the end. I mean, that's how, I mean, they're good, you know. Sometimes he gets a little ahead of himself, a little opinionated, but, you know, any opinionated blogger is going to do that sometimes. So you may not always agree, but, you know, at least he starts a dialogue and many times he will agree. We got a lot more coming up on this show. Scott Dapper is going to be coming up in just a second to talk about the Terminal Clipboard, which if you have a HIMSS product such as a Braille Edge or a Smart Beetle, which you can get from AT Guys, you can do that and efficiently type grade 2 Braille. We got some sound offs and tips and much more coming up. By the way, if you want to learn about the stories, we don't always explain this for new listeners. So when we do this new segment, especially in the rest of the show, I had a question to say, well, how can I learn more? Well, what happens every week is we have a post that's called Show Notes, and it goes up on the website and on the apps, and you can read along, and you can click on lots of links that follow along with the stories that we have. I wasn't sure if this was entirely apparent, especially to those of you who have us on things like the Victor Stream or the Blaze, where you might just be listening to the podcast, but there is an entire text post that goes along with each one of these that you can play along with as well. So whether you're listening on your Amazon Echo or on TuneIn, you can do that. And of course, you can go to blindbargains.com or blindbargains.com/audio. And that's probably one of the simplest ways you can track down the latest show notes.
A longtime listener might have noticed that we put these in order and you can actually hit pause on the audio, read the article and follow along with us and play at home.
You got it. With that, take it away, Scott.
Welcome to this demonstration of Terminal Clipboard. I am Scott Davert. Terminal Clipboard is a feature that allows you to compose text on an internal word processor of a supported device. And then once you have completed whatever it is that you wish to write, you can then send it to the device you're connected to, and it will come out just as you had intended it to. This feature is available on HIMSS products, including the BrailleSense line, so the BrailleSense U2, the U2 Mini, the Plus, and the On Hand. It's not available on the U2 QWERTY because it's just not relevant to that particular device. It's also available on the Braille Edge and the Smart Beetle. For this demonstration, I am going to be using a BrailleSense U2 connected to an iPod 6 running iOS 9.2.1. The connection process, you'll have to look up how to do that on your own because we are doing quick demonstrations here and not long drawn out different things. I will say, though, that I am in the Notes application on my iPod, and it is a new note. There's nothing in it, and I can tell that the text field is editing because I can feel under my finger that the first cell is blinking. In other words, it's ready for input. But before we can input it into the iDevice, I need to launch Terminal Clipboard and compose what I want to say. To enter Terminal Clipboard on the BrailleSense and the Braille Edge, I can press space, enter, and the letter I. On the Smart Beetle, I would hit backspace, enter, and the letter C. So I'm running a BrailleSense U2, so I'm going to hit enter space with the letter I, and the BrailleSense will prompt me by saying
Terminal Clipboard.
You'll see that on the Braille Edge as well as the Beetle, but neither of those have speech support, so of course you're not going to hear it. You can read it out loud if you want to hear it in your own voice. You could even imitate the different Eloquence speech synthesizer if you want, but it's not going to be the same. Anyway, so I'm going to type hello, comma, my name is Scott, period. But I'm going to do a couple of typos so I can show you that you can go back and fix them and it remembers within context what you're doing. If you're familiar with iOS, of course, you'll know that you don't have that context when you're typing in contracted Braille. I will type.
Dot A E L L O. Dot L O comma M Y M dot N name I S is lower H C O T.
As I said, I was going to make a couple of mistakes. The first mistake that I made was that instead of a capital S, which is dot 6 in the letter S, I did dots 2, 3, 6. I'm going to hit the cursor button that is located above the letter C. Unfortunately, there's no speech feedback, but I can see where the cursor is. Now, if I hit the backspace key,
lower H,
it takes that key out, and I can type capital S, and there it is. Now, I only put one T on the end of my name, so I need to go back to the right, and I can do that by hitting the cursor writing button again, and then I can hit T, period, and we have perfectly composed, hello, comma, my name is Scott, period. Now, of course, with iOS, if I tried to do that, I would have had a mess. First of all, the T on the end of my name would have come out that, period. And also, the dot 6S would have come out so, if I were in contracted Braille. So, it's kind of an annoyance when you're on iOS. But, with the Terminal Clipboard functionality, we don't really have that issue. Now, one of the differences between the Edge and the Beetle, as opposed to the BrailleSense line of products, is the BrailleSense actually allows me to insert line breaks. So I'll go ahead and hit dot 8.
Scott.
And I'm on a new line. And I'll just type thank you.
That's T-A-N-K-Y.
And on the Terminal Clipboard, once I'm done, I can then send it. With the BrailleSense products, I would press the command enter with the letter S. On the Braille Edge and also the Smart Beetle, because we can't do line breaks, it's just the enter key. So I'll go ahead and send that to my iPod now.
Start sending. Terminal mode.
You heard there the BrailleSense said terminal mode. It also briefly flashed on the Braille display before it returned to the last little bit of the text, which was thank you. Because of my voiceover settings on the iPod, you couldn't actually hear the text being sent to the device. But we can still verify through speech that the text has been entered by flicking left and then right.
Text field is editing. Character mode. Hello, my name is Scott. Thank you. Insertion point at end.
You're welcome. So that is Terminal Clipboard. I hope you found this demonstration helpful. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter username is Scott Davert. That's S-C-O-T-T-D-A-V-E-R-T. You can also drop me an email. My email address is scottdavert@gmail.com. That's S-C-O-T-T-D-A-V-E-R-T@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Here's a tip. Sometimes the simplest commands are some of the most useful. I was randomly browsing Twitter and I got this tip from Tuuko Ahala on how to shut up those annoying video things that you hear on Firefox. Suppose I'm on a website on Firefox, let's say it's CNN, and I'm trying to read a news story.
Search CNN edit button.
So I'm going down and I'm trying to read the article.
I hate to see that.
Punch him.
Here's a guy and throwing punches, nasty as hell.
I'm just trying to read this article.
Jeremy.
And then this comes up.
Updated.
It might be an interesting video, but I really just want to try to read the article.
Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
M.
Control M shuts that up. And any other video ad or whatever it happens to be. So you can go on and read the actual page. Sometimes it's really difficult to hear if the thing you are hearing in the background is louder than what you are trying to read with your screen reader. So Control M for mute will get rid of it and bring it back. Perhaps the simplest keystroke I've ever seen, and one I wish I would have known about a long time ago. It works just on Firefox, as far as we know. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
We should
stay tuned for more of the Blind Bargains cast. I'm trying to talk here.
It's not a subject.
Stay tuned for more of the Blind
Bargains.
I give up.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
A myriad of comments from you, the listener, on past shows, like episode 51 brings us a comment from Bargain Hound. Great job, guys, as always. Not only have I ever had a problem explaining TTS to others, but that's all featured in, you know, commercials now, like, you know, Siri and the like.
Lots of Siri commercials, and some of these are pretty amusing. The one that they send along is pretty interesting, and of course there's been the, you know, there was the Stevie Wonder thing, which wasn't a Siri thing, but that was a kind of voiceover thing.
But it was demonstrated right there in the beginning to kind of infer. Blind people use these devices that I have in my pocket. That's nice.
It's a 30-second acquisition. No, you know what? Yeah. I don't talk to the computer generally. The computer talks to me. And that's usually the 4-second way of...
I agree that people have an awareness of this, but I don't know that they understand screen reading versus a personal assistant TTS. It's one of those where I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah. And for me, the word is accessibility and access. That's a word that I think we throw around often.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always get explained, where access means a lot of different things to different people. So if you just write and saying your app is not accessible, I think you need to put a sentence or two explaining what that means if you're going to write a developer.
And demonstrating a screen reader is a little difficult for individuals. That's why, as I had said in a previous podcast, especially at CSUN, people have no trouble demonstrating video magnification or screen magnification. It is a visual medium and it translates really well. I have watched Eric Damry over the years change his delivery and put magic with Jaws up to have a visual component when he's in a audience with more visual people. So that way they can see a highlighted word go with Jaws to follow the Jaws cursor and what have you. It's not a simple concept. And it's why those who lose their vision and have to start learning screen readers take a little bit of time, because it is not a natural way that somebody would go to gather information if they were a sighted person. You know, they look at a page and they're kind of doing, you know, mental geography.
Yeah, and scanning around. And
exactly. They're looking at the whole page as a whole, and we're looking at things in a single focus medium. So it's a little different.
You know, you make a good point here, too. Like, if you're doing a presentation, some of us as trainers and such do presentations for audiences. And if the audience is not a primarily blind audience, a lot of times we kind of cut the corner on, you know what, we'll just run the cable from the headphone jack to a speaker, where really we probably should be thinking about, all right, how can we get our monitor up onto a screen as well?
Correct.
So those that are in the presentation can follow along with what's going on.
Same way with iPad. I have a lightning cable to SVGA for that very reason, to do demonstrations of voiceover with that so they can actually read the screen and see what it's doing. Custom Actions is a good example of that, where there's nothing visual there for Custom Actions. So if you put, let's say, like the new Google Music has an update on iOS. Thank you, Victor. And if you put your focus on an album and flick up and down, you'll get to some of these custom actions that are not seen visually. That would capture somebody, because they would go, wait, where is that coming from? And an understanding of the off-screen model. It is, again, one of those things where you can make somebody aware, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But to make them aware and then make them understand how usable it is or how not usable it is, different conversation completely. But it's good that you've got something that you can point to. I think that's great to be able to do that the same way that you can have a video magnifier app on your phone to demonstrate what that is. Again, as a VR professional for 10 years, I wish I had had some of this stuff when I was in the field, when I went to go do.
It's changed just a little bit, hasn't it?
Man, it would have made demos with major employers so much easier. But good point, I appreciate that, Bargain Hound.
One of the things that makes a demo often is the voice that you're using. People are going to latch on to the text-to-speech voice that you are using. We were talking last week about new Google Voices and Google Text-to-Speech 3.8. Jake4252 writes in on the web comments. He says, Google still has no U.S. male voice. It's all they did was make the female voice so she's so deep, so she sounds like a male. You know, I kind of got that impression, too, where it was kind of like a pitch thing, like the old Deck Talks, where they would just kind of pitch shift the voices, and they really weren't that much different from each other. It's still more tolerable than the old ones, I think.
It's kind of hard to go out there and get a good-sounding male voice. I mean, those Siri voices are pretty good.
Yeah, the two Siri voices are definitely distinct from each other. Where the Google ones, it sounds like they took one voice actor, actress, and kind of,
you know,
that's
a shame too, because for some people with hearing loss, they might work out better to have a different sounding voice altogether, not just pitch shifted, but actual timbre in the whole nine yards. So yeah, that's kind of weird. Maybe it's something that's coming. Samsung has one. I use the Samsung male voice a lot. While we're here, did you see the S7 and we saw the new LG G5?
I have an S7 on my way. Or March 11th, or close to it, I will have an S7.
Did you do the pre-order and you got your VR headset?
Well, so I have my choice of a VR headset or a smartwatch, but I think the smartwatch you have to put on contract, so I might get the headset and just sell it.
I was about to say that. It has a speaker, and you could use Android Wear.
Some carriers are allowing for early upgrades and things like that. So I didn't think I'd have an upgrade until the summer, but Turns out there was one available. So I have that phone coming for $28 a month for the next 2 years.
All right,
and
You take the plunge because I am curious.
I was kind of looking at, and maybe this might be a separate topic somewhere, but back in buying phones, but I compared it to the LG G5 and the Nexus 6P. It compares pretty favorably. I know I won't get my version updates as fast, but
waiting for that vulnerable update to S5's getting the marshmallow, and that'd be nice. They keep saying it's going to happen. It was happening to the S6s. But that's interesting.
Every so often,
The S7 has the SD card back in
Micro
it.
Micro SDs are back, yes. That's true.
I like how they kind of admitted that maybe the S6 was a step back. Yeah. Kind of, we might have said something on a show last year.
Several of us have.
Yes.
Speaking of updates, Dropbox had an update that caused some consternation, and Joe had a pretty awesome tip on that. And what was that, 52?
Yeah. One week ago, but it feels so much further away.
So Kyle writes in and is thanking you for that tip.
More than welcome. It was something that Ricky and I ran into in January. Then we talked about it on one of the lists that I'm a part of, and somebody else saw it and mentioned that it was a Dropbox badge. So I was happy to get rid of that thing. Oh, so happy.
And I'll let you take this. Here we go again.
From the feedback email. My name is Juan, and I've been listening to you guys since Android Show and the like. I want to make a comment that Joe's voice sounds like Seth Rogen's. You know, the guy from The Interview, and actually you didn't list one here, but Zach and Mary, that's my personal favorite of his. And someone heard me listening to the podcast, asked me why I was listening to Seth Rogen.
He says I sound like James Franco.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. So we look like David Bowie and Glenn Frey, but we sound like Seth Rogen and James Franco. That's interesting. If you go back to the early days of Mr. Rogen and listen to his stand-up stuff from, say, the Comedy Store or the Improv, he sounds a lot more like me. Now, I have been given this comment several times in my career. And I will have to say that I am older, sadly, than Mr. Seth, and much poorer as well. So Seth sounds like me. I'm just saying. That's my feeling about that, just for the record.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yes, it has been made aware, and my girlfriend doesn't always hear that as well. She hears the similarity, but she says there is nuances that are different.
I don't. But if you listeners have other people that you think that we sound like or look like, then... send them into feedback at blindbargains.com or comment on episode 53's show page.
Get a gigantic glossary together here, and definitely some fantastic comments in this area. Some flattering, some scary. Thank you for those comments. You know is scary?
This is scary.
I saw this. This is not the article I had intended. Maybe I'll find the actual article and put it next to this one in the show lineup that we have sitting in front of us. The one that I have in my Twitter feed is where this came from initially, but I found this one just on a Google search. 5 inappropriate songs that Kidz Bop should not have covered. I was unaware, like most of Now That Isn't My Music's out there, but those compilations have songs that I've never heard of or have heard songs in the coffee shop or in the retail and went, oh, well, I believe is popular. I was not keeping up with their current lineup. And, but apparently, you know, they've done some changes over the years. We've come a long way since Jim Morrison and the Doors had to change one line of Light My Fire to be on Ed Sullivan. And that Macklemore thrift shop. Who said this was a good idea?
They tried to change a couple of lines. So Kidz Bop, when they were first out, they sounded like kids, like 8-year-olds. And now,
they were actual physical kids. Sound
like teenagers.
They would show video of them in like a choir singing. I think
when
Glee came out
was when they kind of changed their image to be a little older sounding. But the songs they've been doing, Thrift Shop and Moves Like Jagger, Lips of an Angel from Hinder, you know, and many, many others.
These are not highly appropriate songs. And in fact, there are websites dedicated to the changes that they make to these songs to make them age friendly. And we'll just have Patrick throw up a little bit of Thrift Shop just so you get an idea of why this one I'm fixated on.
What? I'm gonna rock some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is really awesome.
Walk up to the club like, what up, I got a hit song.
I'm so pumped about some clothes from the thrift shop.
Ice on the fringe, it's so frosty. The people like, hey,
the guy on the marquee.
Yeah, that's just not right. Bad Blood. You know, we played the Disturbed homage version to it. You know, the guy who covered it in the style of Disturbed not too long ago. Kidz Bop does a version of Bad Blood.
Kidz Bop has a version of Watch Me Whip.
That one isn't as dirty,
but it's just really funny. Now, you think Kidz Bop is bad, by the way. Do a search for Kids Rapping the Hits.
I forgot about that one, too.
And they did, everything from Joy and Pain. I think they did Ice Ice Baby. They did a rap cover of Soulja Boy. Yes, it's just as bad as you think it is. Anyone who knows the rap song Soulja Boy. I'm not playing that one here right now, but it's not things that, I mean, I'm pretty liberal as far as, you know, whatever kids listen to things. I don't think I'd want my young kid listening to Soulja Boy in any version. And kids rapping the hits, who luckily is no longer in existence.
That's awesome. This is just
so
wonderful.
You have Kidz Bop knockoffs of Kidz Bop.
Makes me
competitors
not want to listen to Disney radio to see what's there.
No.
Yeah.
That's not like back in the day when they had the Disney Mambo No. 5 where they replaced the lyrics of all the Disney characters.
Right.
Or they whoop There It Is with Mickey.
That is, so that's a way to try and make the parents happy by hearing modern day songs in a kids friendly format. But I annoyed my family for about an hour last week on Google Music playing different Kidz Bop hits. Then I paid the price because then it was in my Google history. And so and it was like when you have somebody come over and they have a child and you let them watch something kids related and your Netflix queue is nothing but Power Rangers for the next month and a half. Yeah. Same thing happened here with Google Music.
No, it's a tradition for me amongst some of my friends. Every time the new Kidz Bop comes out, we will go through them and marvel at what the heck were they thinking.
Oh, yeah. There's a website that like tracks the changes, 25 most disturbing changes. And that is just amazing. I had no idea the depths at which this goes. So there's some for you to kill time with and amaze your friends and if not scare them.
Finally, my last word story. I'm not sure if you saw this one, Joe. From the young kids to the old kids, a couple, pretty much mostly the husband, but the wife has been tagging along, bought a Greyhound bus about 12 years back and renovated it. and turned it into their personal motorhome. So they ripped out all the seats, the restroom, redid all the floors. And now it has a bedroom. It has like a full bathroom with a shower. It's got a DVD player, satellite dish.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
The good old tour. A 1982 Greyhound bus, which has been driving for hundreds of thousands of miles. You know, I mean, and the husband is like every year keeps updating it and doing whatever. And that's their... Could you live in a Greyhound bus?
I don't know that I could. I've been on many a tour bus when I was in radio and seeing how bands would live like that. That is, as much as it sounds glamorous to go on stage every night and have groupies, then you have to get on this lovely, rickety, if not smelly bus with other dudes and dudettes and travel the country. And no, I don't think that's something that
maybe
I would
look... Maybe it's different in this situation if it's just you and your
wife.
Well,
I mean, it's yours. You would have the creature comforts of home. But I mean, at some point, wouldn't you like grow out of it
or
have
a need
to have something beyond it? I mean, it seems like you would accumulate more stuff than the bus could hold.
It's really hard to put much in a... I mean, you're very vertical.
Yeah.
You can't, you know...
You put your patio set in the luggage area, right? You just, you know...
Yeah, like it has to be something like that. I mean, you really have, like, you have so much room. Unless you, maybe you, like, move the aisle of the bus to where it's along one of the walls, so you have a little more space, but yeah. Still...
Hardwood floors, chandelier.
No, they did. He did that. And he has, like, that, you know, he retiled the kitchen. There's an entire kitchen in there. And, you know.
God, I wonder if that affects weight and gas. I guess not, because you're carrying everybody else's luggage, too, but...
He put in ceramic tile. He has, like I said, TV, VCR, satellite dish, furniture, appliances. They have a 100-gallon freshwater tank.
Okay. That's awesome.
His gas tank holds 179
gallons. A little road work or anything. Those guys will be fine.
The gas tank holds 179 gallons, which when gas was really expensive, I mean, that's a problem. That's
now they can put it much cheaper, much, much cheaper. I thought of you, actually. There was a reporter, I think, for the New York Post, but I'll have to look it up and send it to you. There was a megabus that caught on fire, and the reporter live tweeted the whole
Chicago
thing.
Chicago to Minneapolis.
Oh, you saw it. Okay.
Which I have ridden that route before. And, you know, it's...
Now you know you could live tweet
the
fire.
Not the first megabus that has done that, and Greyhounds have as well in the past, too. And those things are always a little... A little scary when you see those things.
I would think so, and it would be more interesting with the particular bus that you brought to our attention, because there's enough stuff in here to make it go up like a Roman candle and boil
some
fish.
But you have the 100-gallon water tank.
I was about to say, boil some fish.
So at least there's that.
Yum. Have you guys seen any conversions out there that would be interesting? Let us know. I have seen hot tubs built into stretch limos, and I've seen... people turn their cars into Batmobiles. It is a scary thing in the modding community. But if you have something, give us a line on it over at feedback@blindbargains.com. You can also tweet us over at twitter.com/blindbargains.
Yes, I'm monitoring that account quite regularly as much as I can. Also monitoring AT Guys, and we do have some new products coming up in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that, as well as some events and things at CSUN that we are starting to plan. So we're going to have some more info
soon. It's going to be here before we know it. I was double-checking flights and hotels today, in fact.
Good. You glad you have yours. I need to get mine.
The time is nigh, my friend. The time is nigh. Easter is upon us soon, and
it is almost March. I need to get on that.
As I said on Twitter, I want to beat the person who scheduled this with a type and speak cable. I really do. The timing
six
is
pin cable.
Yes, they're rare, but worth the beating.
don't waste it on that.
On a scheduler? Yeah, right, exactly. This was the best time the hotel could schedule us. Yes, you know why? Because nobody would normally book it. That's exactly why.
You know, if you're looking for the slightly more modern type and speak cable, they can still be gotten on Amazon. I just bought one.
Because it's an Apple cable too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the old Super Serial. It's Super Serial on one end and DB9 on the other.
The old one, though, was nothing. Was it just proprietary? I don't know. It was a goofiest. It was 6-pin and it was very flimsy. Man.
I'm Joe Steinkampen. You can find me on Ranger Station. That's twitter.com/Ranger Station if you want to hear these stories, if not more, from my Twitter feed. See what makes it to the show and then see how I kind of end the show and then get told that I just drag it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw how that worked out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's definitely
Patrick
that.
Did
and,
it.
Sure. That's how that happened. It's a group effort. That's going to do it this week for Blind Bargains 53. Wow. Go.
So what will next week's going to be?
Car 54. Where are you?
54.
Yeah. 54.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Yeah.
And last week was 52.
52 pickup.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay, cool. Okay. U52 for DC.
Followed by 55 Chevy.
That is true. That is so true.
No, we have Sammy Hagar.
Yes, I can't drive 55 while listening to episode 55.
Okay, let's go.
There we go. Okay, guys, have a wonderful week. See you next time.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.